Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude.
I know. Wait, hold on, let me do the intro. We're at episode 33.
Dude, I can't even let you stop, dude. Dude, I can't contain myself.
I know.
Dude, I can't even hold it back. We have beers popped open tonight. We're drinking.
Here we go. Cheers.
Samuel Adams, Winter Lager.
It's kind of ironic because we played Boston and we ride into town. We rape their horses, ride off on their women, and now we're drinking their beer.
That's right. As it should be. As it should be, dude. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm sure that everybody who's listening is as excited as we are about the game tonight. Continue.
It was the matchup of the season. I do want to get out the tradition I do every week, which is to name some Sharks that are number 33.
Dude, we beat Boston tonight, dude. Dude, we beat Boston in Boston. I'm sorry.
We did.
Go ahead.
We did. And it's almost as cool as knowing that Brant Myers was number 33.
That.
And Dale Craigwell.
Who was also a San Francisco Spider.
That's right. And Marcus Ragnarsson.
This is good trivia.
And only the fourth, only four Sharks have ever worn number 33. The fourth, Marty McSorley.
Wow.
There you go.
Speaking of former Bruins.
Exactly right.
That's right.
So, but of course, Boston, it was the matchup of at least the month. I mean, there's so much hype. I bought into it. What could I say? I mean, this is the most anticipated game, certainly of the last, I don't know, at least the last month. I mean, the Detroit game was huge last month, but the Sharks play Detroit four times a year. They play Boston. They haven't played Boston since 2005. Is it that? No, we haven't played in Boston since 2005.
Right.
I think we've played them once since then. So, I mean, they're the best team in the East. We're the best team in the West. Don't play them that often. Huge game.
This was the great unknown. Because how are you going to match up against the best in the East? I think we've seen so far, how do we match up against the best in the East, Mike? Pretty darn well.
Yeah, we crushed Washington.
We beat the Rangers.
That's right.
We beat the Flyers twice.
Mm-hmm.
In shootouts, we've beat the Penguins.
Although they're not the best in the East anymore.
No, but I that's going to change. People are saying Pittsburgh's not going to make the playoffs. Come on,
they're
dude.
10th right
dude,
now.
Dude, that they're like 2 points behind Carolina that has a big steamer waiting to unload at any moment. Because, you know, Jokinen sure going to take them over the top. And I'm not talking about Ole.
But, dude, we got it. I mean, Boston, dude.
Yeah!
Dude.
Great win.
Yeah.
Great win. Many good things to talk about, especially since it sure didn't look like it was going to start off very favorable for the Sharks that first period.
That's right. And the thing is that even after the first 20, 25 minutes of the game when the Sharks were down, I was thinking to myself, this is still a great game. Yeah, I thought to myself at that point, even if the Sharks lose, this is a great game. There's lots of good action here. Both teams are trying to score. This wasn't the Phoenix affair or the Columbus affair where Columbus puts five guys in the neutral zone and waits for people to turn the puck over. No, both teams were taking their shot. They're trying to gain speed in the neutral zone. You see Savard try to break out. Kessel was going end-to-end all night. Lucic obviously had two goals. I mean, it was a hell of a matchup. I mean, I would love to see these teams play in the playoffs because it would just be an amazing series to watch.
That stretch in the second period where there were no stoppage for a long stretch there. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how long it was. The commentators must have mentioned it about 10 times. Those guys were bad tonight.
I don't know. Who is it? Joe Bonannotti, who I think is the Capitals announcer. I kind of like that guy. The other guy is the guy who does, I think he does color for the Bruins TV. He's the Brick. It's Jack and the Brick who does the TV. I thought he was kind of bad. I like the play-by-play guy, actually.
I got a text from somebody during the game that said, these guys almost sound disappointed when the Sharks like took the 4-2 lead. It almost took the wind out of their sails a little bit. Such East Coast homers. I don't like the network broadcasts at all. No matter who the team is, it just kind of irritates me. But anyways, off topic. But
Not really. I mean, everything about the game is interesting because this was such a storied matchup, a matchup that everybody was anticipating for the last at least 3 or 4 days. I mean, it was every hockey blog I read that's not, you know, specific team related was talking about this matchup. It was the lead on NHL on the fly tonight. I mean, it was, you know, it was everything. I mean, this is the biggest matchup of the month. No question.
Sharks step up in big games. And this is a great sign for big games on the horizon. You know, in the playoffs, you know, this team, the Sharks, everything pointed to the Sharks losing this game tonight.
That's right.
Everything.
And I might point out your blog post, which is on sharks.hockeyanalysis.com for those of you that don't know our blog. But our blog post, you said that this game was going to go one of two ways. One is that, and one of those ways was that the Sharks was going to get crushed.
Right.
And the first way you said is that the Sharks step up like the men that they are and take on the best team going in the Boston Bruins and win. And that's what happened.
I almost got the score right, too.
You almost did. I think you said 4-2, and who knew that Greer could hit an empty net? So, I mean, that's not your fault.
He certainly unloaded at least three of those terrible, bad angle shots tonight. It makes me crazy. But that third line tonight actually stepped up. They played well. I think I mentioned that, too, that you know the third line's got to respond, and tonight they did.
They did.
And Ryan Clough, that guy is the man.
He's money.
He's the beast. Lock him up, baby.
He's cash money right now.
Lock him up. What a great display of Lucic and Clough. Those are the two of the best young power forwards, if not the two best young power forwards in the NHL, Mike.
That's true. I mean, Lucic is going to be great. He's only 20 years old. I think Clough's 26, 25 or 26. So he's got a few years on him. But you're right. These two guys are great to watch. Enough good things couldn't be said about this game because it was great end-to-end action, lots of speed, teams were trying to score all the time. It wasn't one of those boring affairs. And, you know, I got some stats here because I was trying to break down like what it was, you know, what turned the corner for the Sharks because by most accounts, the first 25 to 30 minutes was pretty much all Boston and the second 30 minutes was all San Jose. Here's some stats that are interesting. Faceoff wins 33-15.
Dominant.
Sharks killed it again in the faceoff dot. Sharks out-hit them 39-25. Tons of hits in the game.
Which was surprising to me. Although when I looked it up too, I was surprised to see San Jose's fourth in the NHL in hits. Do you know who's number one?
Flyers?
Rangers.
Really? Okay.
Do you know who the wimpiest team in the NHL is?
The Wings?
Vancouver.
Really? That's funny.
That's right.
But the other stat that I've been looking at the last few games is giveaways, and the Sharks had 5 giveaways, and Boston had 6. In the last 3 games, if the Sharks all lost, right, they gave it away far more than the opposing team. So the Sharks clearly had a focus on that aspect of the game. We're not going to cough the puck up in the bad zones. There were a couple where I sort of grimaced a little bit because, you know, you gain the zone and then you cough it up real high in the offensive zone, which is a horrible place to give it up. But I'd say they really, you know, buckled down in that area, which was to their credit because this Boston team's too quick. You give them free pucks and open ice and it's not going to end well.
Being responsible with the puck and toughness. I love the toughness tonight, Mike. What did you think about that non-high sticking call on Boyle where basically Nokalainen's eye was hanging out of his face as he left the ice? What did you make of that?
I mean, it was a huge break for the Sharks. I mean, there's no question Boyle should have gotten 4 for that. No question.
Yeah, he didn't come back. How do you say that guy's name?
Nokalainen, yeah.
I did it right.
Yeah, you did. So, I mean, they said any of the 4 officials, if they saw it, they would have called it. As we found out last week with the whole crazy Chichu debacle with the high sticking and all that. So if either of the linesmen or either of the referees saw that, that would have been a 4-minute penalty for Boyle, which would have started the second period with him in the box, fresh ice, on the kill, never a good combination. And
although Bruins' power play was
not good.
Was dreadful, although they caught a few unlucky breaks. They had a few setups where they had some good looks, but 0 for 8 tonight. 0 for. Sharks had 1 power play.
Yeah.
One goal. Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
Kobasu left with an injury.
After getting hit with a freight train known as Douglas Murray.
Mark Stewart left another high stick. He ended up being out. I mean, the Sharks are tougher than the Bruins. Was there a performance of the Vagina Monologues in Boston tonight I wasn't aware of? What's going on with the Bruins, Mike?
I don't know.
A bunch of whiny babies tonight.
They can't handle Douglas Murray. They're used to having the biggest guy on the ice that hits the hardest, and Douglas Murray was trying to step up and... Although
he just creamed Kobasu.
Oh, yeah. He hit him like a freight train. It was awesome. But here's the craziest stat. This is the first time all season Boston's lost by more than two goals. How crazy is that?
Dude,
stat?
That turns another cheers.
All right.
Dude. Nice.
Amazing. Amazing.
Great win.
What a great win. But on the bad side, we talked about the Sharks getting some breaks with that high sticking call and some bounces. And, you know, great saves by Nabokov. Nabokov came up huge. He has to be mentioned.
That double pad stack save on Savard could be one of the highlight saves of the year.
It could be. And then the Sharks turned around and counterpunched right then, and Chichu got an amazing scoring chance. He got that puck off his stick so quickly. That's a goal he scores on more often than not, and I think that was sort of indicative of the struggles Chichu's been facing all season. He got the puck in between the circles on his stick, got off his stick in a hurry, and hit Tim Thomas right in the glove.
The Sharks changed. The momentum changed there with that Murray's hit and that save by Nabokov. They happened very close together. And it's no coincidence that they really turned it on after that.
But the Sharks weren't immune to the injury bug either. Marcel Gotch only had three shifts, all in the first 8 minutes
of the game. Carpal tunnel from too much blogging.
Could be. But he's out, so that means there's a lot of line juggling. I was looking at the shift chart just before we started recording here, and there was actually a shift with Klo, Jumbo, and Claude Lemieux, which was an interesting line combination.
Love it.
There was also one with Claude and Patrick Marleau and Jamie McGinn, I think. So there was a lot of weird combinations. So Lemieux is clearly making an impression, because if he was just... you know, a fourth line guy like Jamie McGinn was. Jamie McGinn almost didn't. I think he played the last shift of the game, and he didn't play hardly any else in the third. But Lemieux clearly is making an impression. He's playing more. He's getting his minutes. So it's interesting. So now Gotch is out. So now the question is, you know, what happens now?
You got to figure that Gotch probably is not playing tomorrow. So the reports are, Mike, that JR is close. Luco is close.
Right.
How close is close here? To play tomorrow night, doubtful, right? Yeah. So Worcester's close enough. You got to figure that, you know, we'll probably see Vesey or Kavanaugh.
Staubitz,
Armstrong, Cashbar. One of those guys is probably going to be playing tomorrow night in a limited role, you know, on the fourth line. With Pleahall, I would imagine that you're going to see, we might see Lemieux get promoted, although he'd have to play center, so actually probably be Pleahall.
Yeah, I think that's probably
unless
right.
They call up a center.
It could be interesting. I mean, it seems like the once some people come back like Boyle, then somebody else goes down, and we could really use JR and Lukowicz right now.
We won this game tonight without four guys who should be playing regularly every night in the lineup, right?
Well, they were Jody Shelley. They were playing without two good players. They were playing without
Ryder
and Marco Sturm.
Who?
Marco Sturm.
I'm sorry, the guy who scored more goals than Joe Thornton. Like, yeah. People like to point that out.
Since the trade, right?
Yeah, really. Okay, because that's a fair comparison. Great. Okay, yes. I mean, Sturm is out for the season, right?
He's been out a while.
He's been out basically the last, you know, he barely played last year too, didn't he? I mean, he had some injury problems last year too. So I think Sturm can't count, but you know, guys who we should be expecting back soon. I mean, how good are the Sharks going to be when JR and Mitchell and Luco are back?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's so exciting because
it's something to look for. I mean, this is the magic is back, and this could have been. As I wrote on the blog, like if we lost tonight, I could easily have seen us drop in the next three.
Right.
In Pittsburgh, in Buffalo, in New Jersey, momentum is quickly, you know, falling downhill like Sonny Bono on a snow slope.
Oh, man. That hurts. Okay, but before we go into the next topic, I got to field an email from our buddy Ivan Makarov, who did some number crunching with San Jose Boston. And he said, despite the outcome of today's game, I still think San Jose is a better team than Boston, and here's why. and Mr. Makarov gave us some good numbers. He did points per game by division, and actually the toughest division points per game is, in fact, the Pacific Division, followed by the Central, and then the Northeast, where Boston is third. And if you take out the outliers being the teams that are have a lot of points, the Sharks, Boston, and the Red Wings, the Pacific Division is still the toughest. So he says, based on that, the Sharks have faced tougher competition and therefore are the better team. And I think he makes a good case. I think it's true. Not that we clearly saw tonight that Boston can easily keep up with the Sharks, and it's a great series. But the Sharks were victorious. How can you say that? I mean, knowing that this email, it just it confirms what we found out tonight, and that the Sharks at least play better tonight in a place where Boston is very good. They're very good at home. Well, they're very good everywhere, but they're very good at home too.
I don't know if I could totally agree with this, and this is why.
Okay.
I think that, yes, the numbers say one thing, but when I look at the divisions, I still think the Atlantic is the toughest. New Jersey, Philly, the Rangers, Pittsburgh, those teams going head-to-head night after night, anyone could win on any night. You can't say that one team is more clearly superior than the others. Whereas if you look at the Pacific, you know, the Sharks are 22 points ahead of Dallas, that's in second place, and then everybody else is bunched up. You know, Dallas 59 points, Anaheim 59 points, LA 55, Phoenix 53.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Atlantic, New Jersey 71, Philly 65, Rangers 63, Pittsburgh 57. And I think there's a high likelihood that all four of those teams are going to make the playoffs. Whereas in the Pacific, I mean, there could be four, I guess, if LA pulls off the miracle. But I think most likely three, max.
At the most.
So I still would say Atlantic Division is the toughest.
The thing about the Atlantic is they can all beat up on the Islanders, which is almost like a gimme. And there's no gimme wins in the Pacific right now. Even the Kings are playing well. Kings have won 7 of 8.
So the I know.
Kings are playing well. Kings are playing real well. So thanks for that email. If you want to send us an email or with your questions or comments, you can email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com. But, dude, before this week, we got to spend a little bit of time on the other two games that happened prior to tonight's wonderful victory, which is Columbus and Carolina. We lost both those games.
In overtime.
Yeah. But still, those are games that we should win.
Disappointing losses.
Absolutely.
For sure.
So would you say that the Sharks have righted the ship in one game? Or, you know, what exactly was ailing the Sharks for those two losses?
Pure boredom.
Really,
I guess. I don't know. The Carolina one was especially mystifying to me because I don't think that's a very good hockey team. And instead of kind of sitting back and playing like I thought how Carolina was going to play us, which just sit back and try and keep us from scoring and not go end to end, they really didn't do that. Like, they opened it up. They went end to end with the Sharks. I'm trying to look and see, you know, how many shots there were. You know, Carolina took 29 shots. The Sharks took 40.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty wide open game.
Yeah.
And the Sharks got up 3-1 and they blew it.
And they coughed it up.
They blew it, which was surprising. I didn't expect that from them.
And that was almost the opposite of what happened tonight, which is they would coast in the third, and tonight they were behind and they turned on the Jets in the third, which is great to see. Because it seems like they've sort of faded a little bit late in the games in this sort of recent slump.
Right. The Columbus one isn't as surprising to me because I think, as we've talked about before, that Columbus is the Sharks' nightmare matchup in the first round. That's the worst possible matchup that could possibly happen, which is why I'm totally convinced that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're going to play them in the first round. It's fate. And maybe that's the only way that we can actually deserve to keep moving on. Is Columbus has got our number, Mike.
Yeah, I hate that. I really do. And then they managed to cough it up against other teams. But I wrote on the blog that I think if the Sharks play Columbus in the first round, at least after that loss, they lose the series. I think that's a tough series. I think that's you don't want a 6 or 7 game series in the first round when you're the number one seed. And I think that's what the Sharks are in for if that happens. And I hate that. I hate that. I hope they can, turn the page and get back to the fast shooting game that they played early in the season, because that's the kind of game that they played against Columbus the first two times, and they won both those games.
So, you don't want to have to face a young team like Columbus that's going to come in, they're going to have nothing to lose, they're going to play extremely loose, and there's no expectations on them mm-hmm. as the eight seed. Whereas you'd much rather draw a team like Minnesota that's been disappointed year after year after year by being perennial losers in the first round that you just expect that they're going to lose, or Vancouver that has been hot and cold, and there's still going to be enormous pressure on them to win a playoff series based on all the contracts they have coming up. It's a huge distraction. So if Vancouver's still around, I'd much rather see them.
Yeah.
Oh, please, no Columbus, but you know it's going to happen, Mike.
All right, I'm going to switch gears real quick because we do have another email from Scott from San Jose, and he says, I was reading the results of the ESPN.com NHL player survey and was happy to see the Sharks get some recognition in various areas, especially Patrick Marleau being voted most underrated player and also coming in fourth for best leader, which is a little surprising to me because that seems to be a knock against Patrick Marleau. I think, to be perfectly honest and cynical about it, I think it's a function of the Sharks being great and Patrick Marleau being the captain of said great team. And that's why he's voted one of the best leaders.
Good point.
I don't know if a lot of people really know if he's a great leader or not, but that's just my cynical guy talking. But anyway, Scott goes on to say, one of the questions that got me thinking was about if the players wanted to continue to have the NHL participate in the Olympics, which the players overwhelmingly supported. What do you think about the NHL's participation in the Olympics, and specifically as a Sharks fan, considering maybe a quarter of our team could be heading to Vancouver next year? Guys such as Thornton, Boyle, Nabokov, Gotch, and Ehrhoff are pretty much shoe-ins for the Olympics.
By default, I guess Ehrhoff and Gotch on the German Olympic team. I think, Ehrhoff would deserve it, absolutely.
And he says Marla, Pavelski, Mahalik has a decent chance, and he says Vlasic, Murray, Setoguchi, and Klo, you never know. Frankly, I think Boyle is almost an outside shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
Because you're talking about all these other guys that are amazing.
Hasn't he made enough of an impression this year to show that he deserves to be?
I
would take him over Brian Campbell. Don't you think? Don't you take him over Campbell?
I do, but I'd have to look and think about it. I think Bomeister and Rafalski and you look at these guys that are sort of perennially in the top of the heap, and maybe Boyle makes that lineup but the Canadian national team is going to be crazy good, which is why I think the three guys that Scott mentioned, Marleau, Pavelski, and Mahalik, maybe Mahalik might have a chance on the Czech team, but I don't think Marleau and Pavelski have much of a shot because, I mean, it's going to be an all-star team every line. I mean, Joe, will probably be on the top line, but every other line will just be amazing. Amazing. But it's interesting. The way I think about the Olympics is that if the players want to go, then you let them go. I don't know if I like suspending the season for it, though. That's the one thing that kind of bugs me about it.
Right.
Is that if the players want to go, it's their bodies that are going to be put in jeopardy. They're the ones that decide to do it. I like watching Olympic hockey. I always do. I watch it every 4 years. You see some players that you don't normally see. It's a bigger ice surface. The game definitely changes, and it's fun to see. It's good to see those games. So I like
those Olympic sports more when it's not the name players involved.
I think it's kind of like a
glorified all-star game otherwise. Now, I mean, there's definitely more to play for, and these guys show up and play. They're interested in winning, for sure. I'm not questioning that. Just think, it's something... I feel like I've seen it before, mm-hmm. I feel like I've seen it before. Dude, I there are some three awards from the ESPN awards that you didn't mention.
Okay.
That I think are appropriate. We shouldn't overlook them.
Okay.
Best impression of a Universal Studio horror icon. Is Semenov won that. Chara came in second.
I'm glad. I'm glad about that.
It's alive!
Most likely to need government funding for a dinner tab, Setoguchi, based on picking up the veterans dinner this week. Mm. And coming on second on that is the Phoenix Coyotes franchise. And best empty net goal scorer, Mike Greer, because it's the only way he knows how to score a goal.
Or he could hit the post in the empty net.
That's right.
He actually scored one tonight, though, so good for
Hoo-yah!
Him. He finally did, though, dude. He finally scored.
So congratulations to those Sharks for coming in first in that voting.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so I think we need to get to our newest segment called Moving On Up. This is where we're talking about players that might or might not get traded at the trade deadline, but they're not the normal players you're thinking about. These guys are a little bit off the map. guys you don't hear on all the rumor sites. So we'll see what we got this week.
Dude, I've got two players here for you.
Okay.
I know I got laughed out of the park last week for Ryan Malone.
Yeah, you did.
I'm planning to redeem myself a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Marc-Andre Bergeron, dude. From the Minnesota Wild. Dude, Minnesota.
Who cares?
Okay, listen. Minnesota. I actually, in my notes, I wrote, who cares, actually. But Minnesota is going to trade this guy for a draft pick and a sick sack of dill pickles. You know, but this guy has been traded three times in the last year and a half. He's like Steve Bernier. He was in Edmonton. Then he went to the Islanders. Then he went to the Ducks. And now he's on the Wild. And now he's moving again, dude. I don't know where it is, but he's unrestricted. He's a puck mover. He's got 22 points. Peace out. Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a crazy marquee name for you, dude. You ready?
Who?
Mike Sillinger.
I thought you said a marquee name.
I'm just kidding, dude. I'm just making fun of your Mike Marc-Andre Bergeron, dude.
Dude? Okay, I've got one. It's okay. A little more high profile.
Okay, give me some good.
All right. Chicago's going to trade Cam Barker.
Really?
Yes. They need a second line center. Cam Barker's restricted. He's making $2.6 million. They're going to have to pay him money. They don't have the money. They don't have the money to keep him. He hasn't played well enough to deserve like a huge raise. But eventually down the line, this guy has been back and forth from the minors. He's been decent this year, not great. But he's still got a lot of potential. I think they could turn him into a second line center. So Cam Barker, see you later.
The name that pops out at me in Chicago that I think they might try to trade is Dustin Byfuglien. I think they might try to trade Byfuglien.
Why would they trade him?
For the same reason. Is because he was a guy who was supposed to be really good. He's stagnated, plateaued a little bit this season. Hasn't been able to really make it into the top lines. But he's a good player. He's got good size. He's got skills. And maybe they want to get rid of a guy like that, betting that he's not going to improve that much more. You know, pull the Steve Bernier move. And see if they can get a second line center. But
Byfuglien's so versatile that
it's true,
and he provides a lot of toughness on that team. I think he's a good third line player. He can play the power play. I'd be surprised. I think he's got a lot of value. Mm-hmm. You know, I think teams would be interested in seeing, you know, how he could thrive. You know, in a situation like, especially a team like the Maple Leafs or the Thrashers or a young team where he could go from playing 12 minutes to playing like 20. You know. How is he going to do? But I'd be surprised if that was the move. So we'll see. You're taking Byfuglien?
I'm going to take Byfuglien. I think it may be a little longer shot than Cam Barker, but I think Byfuglien has some real value, and he might get some more stuff in return than Cam Barker.
Byfuglien is signed until 2011, making 3 years, so $3 million.
Hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. Maybe that makes him more attractive or less. I don't think he's as hot as Cameron Barker, baby. Pack your bags. Dude, we're going on a trip.
Yeah, that's the final topic, is we're going to New Jersey. We've talked about it all season long in terms of talking about many other podcasts, but this is the week. We're flying out. We're going to New York City on Friday, and we're going to The Rock on Sunday. We're packing the Sharks jerseys.
We're wearing the jerseys.
We're wearing the jerseys. We're going to take our chances. I think we'll be fine.
This could be the last podcast.
This might be. If you don't see us next Wednesday, then you know what happened, is we went to The Rock and we got mugged on the way to and from the arena, and
we didn't come back,
and someone finally got to us.
That's right, dude. We're tougher than that.
I think
we
so.
Lead the league in hits. We're not gonna take anything from anybody, and I'm ready to rock, baby.
I think we need to steel ourselves for the fact that we're gonna be paying a lot of money to go see a game that's gonna be freaking boring.
No. No, this is going to be a good game.
You don't think Jersey's going to be a boring game?
No.
All right. I hope you're right. Although it'll be exciting anyway, because it'll be, you know.
Jersey's playing well.
Enemy fans. Yeah, they're playing well. They're playing well, absolutely. And we got some other good games this week, you know, Buffalo and Pittsburgh and everything like
that. We'll be at the end of a 4-game win streak by that point, so we'll be looking to cap it off. I'm calling a win in Pittsburgh and in Buffalo, dude.
Nice, dude.
Mm-hmm.
You calling Jersey now, too?
I'm calling Jersey, and I'm saying JR returns in Jersey, dude, and we're going to be there to see it.
That would be so
amazing. I'm holding out hope, dude. This is a glimmer of hope here that somehow... never mind. It's not going to happen. I was going to say, because the Sharks are going to be in Buffalo, that maybe we might run into JR at the NHL store on Friday because maybe he'd come in studio, but he'll be in Buffalo. So that's I retract that. But we'll be at the look for us on NHL Live on Friday. We're going to be live on the show, dude. I mean, we won't be talking to the guys, but we'll be downstairs trying to get on camera.
If I have my way, we might be talking to the guys. I'm bringing my crowbar.
We'll be in the Sharks jerseys, and we'll do a little desperate begging. And
yeah, we'll see what
happens. Maybe somehow we can shake EJ Raddick's hand.
We'll grovel for EJ. Well, that does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. You can check us out on the web at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And make sure to tune in again next week. Same time, same place. Go Sharks!
Memo to Chuck Kobasu, keep your head up.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.